The reading this morning is 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 to 8, and it's headed The Resurrection of Christ, and I'm reading from the NIV. Now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received on and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preach to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me also, as to one abnormally born.
What is the gospel? Oh my word, that's a huge, huge subject. What is the gospel? And this line is from a song that was at Spring Harvest that I really liked, from the start of time to the finishing line. It's an all-age song, but it does actually explain really what the gospel truly is. Now, sometimes we think that the gospel, and the word gospel means good news, in Greek, it is euangelion. Now, that sounds very, very mouthful, doesn't it? The A bit, the E-U, is good, and the angelion is angels. Angels were messengers. So it's a good message. And sometimes we just think that it's like, you know, like a ticket to heaven. Wilma's MA thesis was called A Ticket to Heaven. So you believe, and then you get your ticket to heaven, and you're okay, and that's it. Actually, God has got much bigger fish to fry, let me say, put it that way. The gospel is really God's great story, his big story. This thing hates me. There you go. It is God's story from the beginning of time, from the start of time to the finishing line. And really, the gospel is contained in this. I wanted to have that passage read because it says, according to the scriptures. Everything is according to the scriptures. God has written it down for us in the Bible. And we're going back to not basics. I've been really struggling with this because it's not basic. You're going to have to really think during this series. You're going to have to really get your head around some difficult subjects. I've got next week the Trinity. Easy subject, done in a couple of minutes. Yeah, right. It is God's story from beginning to end. And it's really from creation to new creation. It's a story in six acts, as I like to put it. The great dramatic opening in creation. The terrible tragedy of the fall when human beings rebel against God. Hope is sparked by God choosing Israel. A hero arises in the New Testament. Jesus. And we talk a lot about Jesus because he is the central person of our faith. We've sung about it. Now we're talking about it. The church is given the job to carry on the task of Jesus. And there will be a grand finale, the new creation. So from creation to new creation. Normally, Baptist sermons should have 3 points. I've got 6. So get comfortable. So the dramatic opening. God of creation. The God of creation is the God of Israel. Because God is always qualified as the God of Israel. This is not just any God. This is the God of Israel who creates the world. Massive, fantastic. That's the that's called the Eye of God, I think, that constellation. Quite an amazing one. So God made the world, and dramatic in Genesis 1 and 2. You see it, there's two stories that you've got. Genesis 1 and 2, the story of Genesis 1 is all big and, you know, whoa, like a movie. And Genesis 2 is far more earthy. And God, excuse me, sorry. Thank you. God creates relationships. God is a relational God. So he makes perfect relationships between the human beings and him. Between the human beings as well. Between Adam and Eve, as we say. And also between those human beings and the earth. These relationships are all important. We need a relationship with God because he gives us life. Paul said this, or prayed it already. He gives us the life that we need. But we need one another as well. Because God's in relationship, we need relationships. We can't live on our own. Even the introverts among us need human contact. By the way, I'm not an introvert. You might have gave them that already. I'm just a little bit more extrovert than I am introvert. But we need those relationships with one another. And we have a relationship with the earth. Now, this is something that it's not just a sort of trend that today we have to be environmental and ecological and stuff. No, this was from the beginning. God gave humanity the job of looking after the earth. And it didn't say, oh, by the way, forget that. I'm changing my mind. You don't need to look after the earth anymore. No, we still have the job to look after the earth. But the problem is that sin came into the world. Tragedy strikes. Humanity falls and fails, rebels against God and goes its own way. And those relationships all were ruined. And you see this in Genesis 3 to 11 as it spirals down. I used to say, God says to Adam, what did you do? And he says, the woman who you gave me. It's like, thanks a lot. You're to blame. Not me. You're to blame. And then the woman goes, oh, the serpent that you made. Again, I'm just kind of trying to get out of the way just in case a lightning flash comes down from the sky and kills us all. No, this is still our job. But these relationships, because of the fall, were ruined. And from Genesis 4, you get Cain and Abel, those are, and Lamech. Do you remember Lamech? Does anyone remember Lamech? I said to my two wives, he says, and it's not about polygamy, he says, I killed a man for striking me. This multiplication of evil is going on in Genesis 3 to 11. The relationships that human beings were given as a gift from God have been destroyed. Well, not destroyed, but have been pretty badly ruined. And our relationship with the earth as well. Because in Genesis 3, God says to Eve, your pain will be multiplied in childbirth. And where you could actually cultivate the ground, it's suddenly going to bring briars and weeds. Well, a weed is only a plant that's actually growing in the place where we don't want it to grow, to be honest. It's not any different class of plant. So our relationship with the earth, and we can see this, can't we? People do not want to come face to face with God. People don't want to come face to face with one another. Because you see yourself as you truly are. And I guess the marriage relationship is one of the most intense. And you see yourself in the other person and all your faults. And our relationship with the earth, and we can definitely see that quite easily today with the environmental degradation that's going on. So, but God did not give up on humanity. In Genesis 12, hope is sparked. God chooses Israel and gives them the job to take forward his redemption. This is the gospel. This is where God starts to renew humanity. And this is the gospel. It's not just our individual salvation. It's the redemption of all things. The bringing together of all things once again under God. And he works with humanity, restoring. And through Abraham, I've got a few verses out there you can look at. Genesis 12, you'll be a blessing to all the nations. Genesis 18, through the justice that you do, Abraham, I'm going to show the nations what it is to be like in a relationship with me. And this is the nations that God's focus is upon. Now, it's sometimes dangerous to say for me, as a pastor, it's not about us. It's about all the nations. That's God's focus. It's not the focus on the church. It's not the focus on just Christians. It's the focus on all the nations. Every nation. And this is why I rejoice that we're becoming a much more multicultural community. So if you don't like foreigners, you may not enjoy heaven. You may not enjoy, in fact, you won't enjoy heaven because there's going to be a lot of them up there. But the mission of the church continues in the New Testament. Jesus Christ is the hero that arises. He is the central mover in this. He sends his only son, the Messiah, the chosen one. That's what Messiah means. To deal with that sin. This is the gospel. The sin of the world has been cancelled. Sin is not an issue anymore. Not in salvation. It may be an issue in the way we deal with one another, but it ain't an issue when it comes to salvation. You can choose not to take it if you want, but that has some rather dire consequences. But God has dealt with sin. Jesus Christ was the perfect human being and the perfect Israelite. He did what Israel could not do. He could be in perfect relationship with the Father, with his disciples, and with creation. He is the perfect one in every way. He suffered all things but without sin. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm going to cough again. Thank you. So remember, he's the central figure. Don't lose sight of that. He, in fact, is the gospel. Because God has dealt with us and our sin through the Lord Jesus Christ. Sorry, getting emotional. When I think of Christ, people have different phrases they use. To me, he is my captain. He is the one who I look up to. He is the perfect one. He knows me, yet he still loves me, which is incredible. And we will be looking a little bit more at this next week. I'm going to have a drink. Thanks, love. Sorry. But this is where we come in. This is the church. That gets passed on to the church. And we are to become the gospel. Witnessing to the good news of Jesus Christ. And when I say witnessing, I don't know if anybody's a lawyer here. No? No lawyers? No. But a witness is somebody who has seen something and experienced something. We cannot witness to the gospel of Jesus Christ without experiencing the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's utterly essential. Renews Israel. Doesn't replace Israel, renews Israel. And includes the nations. Paul complains in Romans 9 that not all Israel are Israel because they haven't believed in Jesus. We have been included as Gentiles into his assembly, his church. And we do have that responsibility to live it out and to show the gospel. And again, just to reiterate what Nick said about toddling, you have a massive opportunity to witness the gospel. And we are to be a model to the world. Who we are, this is why church division is such a horrible thing, because it doesn't witness to the world about who God, that God of unity, truly is. Are we, do you think? In what ways can we improve on the way we are a model to the world? In what ways are we doing wrong, sinning? The sin's forgiven, like I said, still, but in what ways are we not witnessing to Jesus Christ in the world because of our attitudes towards one another, like David was praying about? That unity, and we'll look at this next week, the great unity and diversity of the Trinity. But there will be a grand finale, because God is going to, he is going to put everything right in the new creation. And this is what we see in Revelation. The new humanity in the new creation, the consummation of all things. Ephesians 1:10, Colossians 1:20. I'm glad that God did that, put them in those that order, because I can remember them then. But this is the new creation, God renewing the whole of creation. Doesn't mean we can do what we like with it now, but he will renew creation. And this vision of the new creation we find in Revelation 7. After this, I looked, and I saw before me a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people and language, standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb. People from every nation, tribe, people, and every nation, tribe, people, and language standing before the Lord. We won't be speaking Hebrew. We'll be singing in English. Well, you might be singing in another language if that's your natural language. But this is the gospel. This is the culmination of all things. God bringing all the nations that he started with back in Genesis together under the righteous rule of the Lamb. Because the Lamb who was slain died for us.
Amen.
This is the gospel that we proclaim. It's not a ticket to heaven. It is the recreation of everything. It is a revolution. And we witness, as a church, we witness to that revolution. This is why the first Christians were persecuted, because they witnessed to that revolution. You know, a few weeks ago when I spoke on Palm Sunday, Jesus proclaimed himself to be king by coming through that east gate straight into the temple. And that is what's going to happen in the future. What does it mean for us? Well, one, we should rejoice. We have the greatest message this world has ever heard. Greater than any other message. This is the great message. It's not any good, it's great. Do I get an amen? We rejoice. Get enthusiastic about it. It's wonderful. It's a great thing to have. But we can't keep it to ourselves. We can't. If we keep it to ourselves, that would be very, very bad indeed. Because he died for all the nations. And every nation, tribe, tongue, will come and worship him. What a great message we have, brothers and sisters. This is the gospel. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you so much for the Lord Jesus Christ. We are absolutely stunned at your love for us. Not only individually, not only in a church, but as a human race and as a creation. You love every blade of grass, every animal. We thank you for that great love that we have experienced in the Lord Jesus. And we thank you that in his death and resurrection, he has facilitated us to become part of your family. That he is going to restore the whole of creation, not only to its original state, but better. And Lord, forgive us when we don't love you, when we don't talk to you, when we don't love one another, when we don't love your creation. Lord God, forgive us, I pray. I know you do, but help us to live in righteousness and justice to the end of our days. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen.